This is the last part of the webinar. Excited for this one. It'd be good if we could make this a little more conversational because there's a lot of good stuff when we spoke about this a few days ago that came out. But Mary, I would love to start with you. You wrote a white paper earlier this year. I think you published in January about a specific project that was issuing verifiable credentials or allowing people to issue verifiable credentials or verified data as proofs of various degrees or certifications in order to try to remove fraud of people applying for jobs with a fraudulent university degree or a fraudulent certification as a contractor and so forth. Could you talk to us a bit about that model and a little bit about, and that takes us on the left side where we're talking about protecting assets in this previous part, but this is really, there's quite a lot of importance on the left side as well and the issuers and where the actual verifiable data is coming from. So would you mind just explaining the project and just some of that
Yes.
stuff?
Matthew, you know what would help the discussion? Can you go back to your generic triangle? Because then we can walk around the triangle. So as Matthew said, the University of Arkansas was one of is a member of a consortia that is focused on what's called a smart resume. That is a founder-led model by a company called Adatify out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And what this company is trying to do is fix job acquisition. So right now, I was really surprised to learn about all this, but right now, 80% of companies use job sites like LinkedIn, and there's lots of problems with this. First of all, is fraudulent claims of your credentials, right? None of us, nobody ever checks whatever we write on our LinkedIn profiles. And even at the University of Arkansas, we have more people claiming degrees from our university that have than have ever learned them. So we have that issue of fraudulent claims on credentials. We also have problems with job hiring companies because there's a lot of bias in job hiring. So if you're using these kind of websites like a Monster or LinkedIn, you can look at a lot of personal identifiable information. You can see somebody's race, you can see their age. So how do you get job selection bias out of that? So Dave Wangle, who's CEO of Adatify, came up with this idea of a smart resume where the issuers are the only ones that are authorized to issue credentials. And that holder that you see here, that's an individual resume holder. And that individual resume holder is going to have credentials from lots of different institutions. So it could be the University of Arkansas. It could be you went through an IBM training module. It could be you're a qualified forklifter. And what the platform does, it'll collect all the certified credentials and present it as a smart resume. And then the job hiring companies, when they do searches for talent, they only search based on the credentials they need. They don't have any personal identifiable information about the applicant until the applicant chooses to reveal it. And so they've been on a great journey. They've got 60,000 smart resumes launched. If you're a student at the University of Arkansas, every one of our students will be issued a smart resume credential from the university upon graduation. And we also issue credentials like if you were on Leadership Walton or if you were an honor student or you got the Chancellor's Award for Excellence. So it's a phenomenal model. It's taken a long time to build the ecosystem. I'd say that was the much bigger challenge rather than the technology challenge. And it's a blockchain-enabled solution because the credentials are secured and stored on a blockchain. So I'm going to pause there in case you have any questions or comments or follow-ups.
I guess this type of thing becomes quite important too, as it's a starter, right? But you could start using this stuff for provenance and traceability as you have basically verified or quality data that starts to become, I guess, part of a larger journey. And if you have more of this stuff, the provenance and the traceability becomes something that has a lot of value.
I think the big value really is creating that neutral marketplace. Because if you just even think about from the perspective of from like the University of Arkansas, every time one of our alumni changes jobs, the registrar gets an office from the new employer trying to verify their credential. So what the Smart Resume platform is trying to do is to prevent that phone call in the first place. The individual job applicant can just prove that they have this credential from them. So I think that's one of the value adds from the credentialing side. From the individual resume holder's perspective, the Smart Resume Project did a lot of smart things. They said, you have to determine who should pay for this and who's getting value out of it. And so the decision they made is not to charge credentialing organizations. So they're not charging like the University of Arkansas to do this. They're not charging the individual resume holders who tend to be like recent graduates and students. So their business model is in this ecosystem, the companies are the ones that get the most value out of it, because they're the ones that are going to get certified credentialed job applicants, and the companies will be able to prove that they're not doing any kind of bias selection. So I think it's really important when you're trying to build this trusted marketplace that you really have to bounce around and understand the value proposition is going to be different for each participant in the ecosystem. And you have to, you know, think about the behavioral and financial incentives to get everyone in the ecosystem to join and trust it.
Yeah, the other thing, Mary, also is that the holder is also benefiting, because as I change my jobs, for example, I don't need every employer to contact University of Arkansas, because I already have a verifiable credential. So the value is on both sides, right? Like you were saying, that the holder is getting benefit because it's creating an ecosystem. As I travel, I can reuse my credential without any concern. And the enterprise is getting value that they don't have to chase issuers to verify the credentials.
Right. And Subhashish and Jim, you both mentioned this speed of onboarding, right? It takes on average 3 or 4 weeks to verify credentials for a new hire. And this is, as you say, it's instantaneous. I've proven to you I have my credentials.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're skipping around kind of what kind of connects all this, whether you're the holder, the issuer, the verifier. It's about reputation. So if you're the holder, you have a reputation of whatever your credential leads and you're honest. If you are the issuer, you're issuing, credentials to folks that earned them and so on. But the company itself now has a reputation of, hey, come here to find reputable hires. And the company that hires, hey, we use a system that takes bias out. So we are using a very fair system for our hiring and so on. So as you think out in concentric circles from the person to the hiring organization, to the to the organization that's going to put the candidates together, and then out to the hiring organizations, you have these concentric circles of reputation that are very important. The most important piece is, if that reputation gets soiled, it's going to be extremely hard to recover, right? So whether you're a person or whether you're the organization that collectively puts people in front of to the market, if you're the marketplace for people, or if you're a company that all of a sudden there's bias that's put into the decision. And I think that's crucial at the human level and also at the parts and manufacturing level. So reputation is really the most important thing for me coming out of the discussion today. It's how do you establish a reputation? I'll pause there.
And I think you could do stuff of whether it's zero knowledge proofs or homomorphic encryption, where I'm not sure, Mary, if that was touched upon in the project too, but just removing as much bias as possible from the whole exchange process and the decisioning process.
I'm sorry, I was reading the Q&A, Matthew. If you're addressing something to me, you got to repeat.
I was reading the Q&A as well, and there's someone that brought up a question about selection bias. And so that's what I was trying to address. If the project you worked on addressed those types of biases, and I know there are technical ways of doing so through various encryptions. I was just wondering if that was something that was taken into consideration.
I think that's one of the major value adds to the hiring organization. So if you look at the Smart Resume interface, when you are the job hiring company, you are only looking at a generic unique candidate ID and their list of qualifications. So you don't see a picture of them. You don't know their race. You don't know their age. You don't know any of the other things that we routinely can discern from places like a Monster or a LinkedIn. So that is one of the main, that's a huge issue, as Jim points out, in reputation and hiring. So they don't get to see any of that. So if they're interested,
too. Mary. Yeah, okay, promotion. Yeah, no, and in promotion boards too, like in the DoD, we've taken pictures out so that you can't have bias and so on. Although there are some demographics that work in, but this permeates through all those different areas, as you're going to mention. And I apologize for interrupting you.
No, that's absolutely great. I think some of the challenges when you're trying to do something like this is you have to kind of uplift large numbers in order to make it worthwhile. So I think the smart resume project, they didn't really talk to hiring companies until the end. Right, because the hiring companies need to see a viable marketplace, you know, a viable ecosystem of lots of individual resume holders. So Dave Wengel started off primarily focusing on the issuers of the credentials, and then launching the smart resumes, educating the receivers of these smart resumes, how they activate them, and the holders have complete control of their smart resumes. Identify doesn't control it. It's the individual resume holders. They will decide, yes, I want to be visible in the market. And if a hiring company wants to pursue them forward, they have to give permission to reveal additional levels of information. So it really empowers the individual resume holders, which is one of the reasons why we were excited to participate in this particular use case.
Exactly. Like, this is where SSI is so great, because it gives control to the owner of the data to decide what do I want to share with whom for which transaction. It's such a powerful change in paradigm, and it's good for both sides, right? Why do you want to have information that you really don't care about? And if the holder doesn't want to share it, all the power to them, because ultimately it's their information and it should be their choice. So this is great.